This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7-Eleven, good to be back. Happy New Year, and thanks for listening, and thanks for a great 2015. Going to even be a even bigger 2016. Thanks to you, the greatest audience ever. This is show number 558, and let me say Happy New Year to Governor Rauner, who joins us now on the phone. Happy New Year, Governor.
Steve, good morning. Happy New Year to you.
Did you make midnight on New Year's Eve?
I was actually on a plane coming back to Illinois on New Year's, so I did not do much of anything.
Did you have any celebration on the plane? Did you drop anything?
You know, they actually turned some sort of communication on for the plane, listening to a radio station. I think it was in Spain. And with a lot of people screaming and yelling, it was midnight in Madrid. I don't know what time it was in Springfield.
All right. Well, better luck next New Year's. So, let's start with the obvious here, and that's the floods downstate. Valley City, Maradoja, Beardstown, Havana, a mess. You were in Kincaid, right?
Yeah. We've been traveling over the last 4 days in all the communities we could. We declared 12 counties a disaster area so we can free up state resources to help the first responders and volunteers there. And we also, it's the first step in a fairly arduous process to try to get federal aid, federal reimbursement to the communities that need it. And so we've been traveling. And what's amazing, you know, so wonderful about Illinois, the communities come together, helping each other, volunteers working 24 hours a day for a solid week. Helping. And most communities have come through this relatively well. Hundreds and hundreds of buildings have been saved through sandbagging efforts and barricades. It's pretty inspirational to see all the work that's been
done. You feel like FEMA is going to sign off on this?
Is this FEMA?
Is it FEMA's jurisdiction on this?
It's FEMA is the primary one. There are some other pockets of jurisdictions that we're also going to discuss with, but FEMA is the primary one.
Because, as you know, before you came into office, when Washington was flattened by a tornado, it was a huge disappointment.
Yep.
When the feds did not come through. Now, FEMA is not sitting on a pile of money, and it turns into a political thing. But I'm glad to hear you're fairly confident, at least, as much as you can guarantee, that it looks like it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, I don't want to overstate. I'm not guaranteeing anything at all. FEMA's got very rigorous high dollar standards, and we do not know the extent of the damage, and we've got to get all the financial reports from everybody before we really know.
A lot of it's probably wet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, they don't make it easy, I guess is my point. Andrea.
How frustrating, though, Governor, is it to deal with FEMA? I know, because it really is, you know, you're kind of between a double-edged sword as to whether or not you're going to get the funding. For example, when all the tornadoes hit, we thought we were going to get more money. When I say we, I mean the state.
Right.
Thought we were going to get more than we actually did.
Yeah, no, that's right. And they've got a lot of demands on the federal resources, but you know, the reality is a lot of these communities have been devastated by the flooding, and it's a question of whether the financial totals come up to a level that FEMA will say, okay, we'll go ahead and cut some checks. At this point, I just don't know. I can't tell you that I'm super optimistic.
Also want to ask you about today. You're going to announce some reforms for some local communities. This is the findings of the Local Government Consolidation and Unfunded Mandates Task Force. It's their final report that you're going to be announcing the results of today.
Yeah, it's actually a really big deal. Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti has led a task force for the last 11 months. She's been traveling the state, meeting with hundreds and hundreds of local elected officials, county board members, mayors, village presidents, township heads, talking about the cost of government and what we can do to save taxpayers' money. There's a huge opportunity for the state of Illinois here, for the taxpayers of Illinois. We are not getting value for taxpayers today, a lot of wasted money. And this report is compelling. I'm very excited after having reviewed it over the last few weeks. They did a great job. This is bipartisan. We've got Democratic elected leaders who voted for every element of this, as well as Republicans. And here's the bottom line. If the recommendations in this report were implemented statewide, we would save billions, that's billions with a B, every year for Illinois taxpayers. It's very exciting, and it's all about driving efficiency. We have 7,000 units of government in Illinois, 1,800 more units of government than the number two state, which is Texas. And even though we've got dramatically smaller population than Texas, there's a lot of waste, a lot of inefficiency, a lot of redundancy, and if we can strip that out, big savings that we can put in the taxpayers' pockets to bring down their cost of living, put in the pockets of small business owners so we can grow jobs, And then very importantly, we could put the money saved into our schools where it ought to go and into the social services for our most needy families. So it's a very compelling report.
Now, the unfunded mandate portion of this goes to the spending that you've been very upfront about how much you're fighting the Democrats on this. How much of this is realistically going to be able to get done?
You know, I really don't know. It's compelling good government policies, and we did get Democrats, both some Democratic legislators. We had legislators on the task force. They didn't vote for everything on here, but they voted for significant majority of the recommendations. So I'm cautiously optimistic that we can work with the General Assembly and try to get the bulk of these recommendations passed.
The budget issue, which is ongoing, 95, 94, 93, whatever the percentage is of the state being funded, isn't enough.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. You don't have a budget. It's incredibly, it's just outlandish to me that Mike Madigan didn't show up for the last meeting of the four tops that you all got together. When are you sitting down again, and when are the grown-ups going to actually get something done?
Well, we've put in a request. I requested even before the holidays whether we should meet over the holidays. There was not much interest in doing that among the leaders, so we decided to wait until January. That's one of the reasons I went ahead and joined my family on a trip over the holidays. But the next time we meet, we're working on the dates right now. There's no agreement. You know, the speaker has not had a lot of interest in doing the four leader meetings ever since last May. He's just not had too much interest. And my sense is that the meetings that we've had, he hasn't spoken much of anything in the meetings in December. And it's as much as about, I think, getting his message out for his own political process as it is for actually negotiations. So I don't know. When will we get an agreement? It's clear, and the speaker said it finally publicly, his real goal is to get the income tax back up to 5%. That's what he's pushing for. And I've said, look, I will negotiate on revenue. I will be willing to, I'm open to considering some new revenue. But I will not raise the taxes on the people of Illinois if we're not changing the structure so we can get real value for taxpayers. Otherwise, we're going to stay on this treadmill we've been on for decades, spending more, borrowing more, and taxing more, and not getting value. We've got to stop that.
And it seems fairly common sense. Are you embarrassed about how long this has taken?
I don't know if embarrassed is the right word. I'm very frustrated. I knew it was going to take a while. It's just taken longer than I thought. There's a chance now in January that it only takes a simple majority, not a super majority, to pass bills that we could get something done. But legislators, and I've got a lot of friends in the Democratic caucus, a lot of them are whispering to me, the speaker may not want to take tough votes until after the primaries are done in March, which would be unfortunate. That's bad for everybody, but I'm hearing that chatter. I've even heard a few people whisper that he may not want to take tough votes until after the general election. I hope that's not
just
true.
It's idiotic. You can't ever go to the federal government argument that you have to run it the way you run a checkbook because it's different. However, having said that, the idea that the fifth largest state in the nation can't get together to do a budget is embarrassing. This is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Unfortunately, it's about the politics and positioning for some of the folks on the other side. It's not about what's good policy and what's right. And the reality is we do need some bipartisan compromises. I'm willing to compromise. I'm not going to demand everything that I want to see. There's a lot of changes we need in the state. I'm willing not to get even the majority of them day one. But we've got to change. Well, if all we do is put in a massive tax hike and nothing else, more businesses will leave. More people. We lost 100,000 people last year who could choose what state to live in, and they left net. And that's been going on for years. We've got to change direction. And whether it's term limits, redistricting reform, local control on bargaining and bidding to bring down property taxes, property tax freeze, if we can't change some of these things to indicate that we're going in a different direction, we will be lost. And that's what I've got to convince the speaker. Be willing to compromise.
Governor, the spring session doesn't start until January 13th, but I guess many, including State Representative Jack Franks, are saying that a budget deal wouldn't even take place until after the primary. Would you ever consider calling them in earlier or into a special session?
Well, we'll be meeting. The General Assembly will be meeting starting January 13th. It's a question of when will they take tough votes. The Speaker is reluctant to put, you know, certain members of his caucus on bills right now if they could be if they could lose their primary as a result. And he's also worried that if they take some tough votes, some members of his caucus might lose their general elections in November. The reality is, sometimes we've got to stick, all of us got to stick our necks out and take some tough votes, regardless of the short-term consequences. We've got to stop. Bottom line in Illinois, everybody's been focused on the next election for years, not the next generation. We've got to make some decisions that help the next generation in Illinois. That's the bottom line.
And the people that aren't funded now by the state are in great pain over this, and pain that worsens every day. Has Mr. Cullerton been more cooperative on this?
He has. He's been more flexible. That's been true all the way since last spring. The speaker has, you know, brought him back in forcefully sometimes from time to time. Both the president and the mayor have been more creative and flexible and willing to come up with some compromises. So far, the speaker's shown absolutely zero interest in any sort of compromise. The focus is on getting the income tax up to 5%.
We're both going to run out of time here before we do. The speaker's constant refrain is that you want to bust unions. Do you, Governor Rauner, want to break the unions apart and end unions in Illinois?
Absolutely not. That's pure poppycock. It's a bunch of bull. That here's what I'm asking is let local communities decide how they run their communities, their cities, their counties, their school districts. Many elected officials would agree with the speaker. They want to spend more when they build things through prevailing wage. They want higher property taxes. So because the government unions, deserve better compensation or better pensions. Fine, keep it. I'm not changing that at all. All I'm saying is don't have Springfield mandate what happens, requires what happens. Let each community decide for themselves. Some might agree with the speaker. Terrific. Some will agree with me. I know because I hear from them every day. Let each community decide. That's all I'm asking.
Maybe a meeting this week?
We've asked for one. Right now I'm hearing that they probably don't want to do it. My guess is right now it's going to be next week.
Republicans, Democrats, moderates, everyone who wants this nonsense to end, let the speaker know that regardless of what else is on his calendar, short of a family emergency, he needs to show up and do his damn job.
There you go. Encourage him to give power back to the people of Illinois. In the end, my agenda is about letting people of Illinois decide their own future for themselves, not dictated to by certain elected officials. Let local folks decide term limits, redistricting, control on bargaining, bidding, and contracting. If you're pro-union, terrific. I got no problem. Many members of my family and friends of mine are in unions. I got no issue. But let local people decide the process that goes on. Don't have it mandated by a couple leaders in Springfield. That's what's got to change.
All right. And again, the governor just said on the record that he's not here to break unions and he is willing to compromise and continue to compromise. I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Steve.
All the best. That's Governor Rauner.